Look here in verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now God's talking to Israel, but He's also speaking to spiritual Israel. Also speaking to us, God's people, spiritual Israel. This is a gracious, gracious word from our covenant God. Our covenant God. It was spoken to a graceless, graceless people. And that's what God does. We went our own way, but He said there in verse 21, He said, I had pity for my own namesake. I had pity. You know why He said we had pity? Had pity because we need pity. We're a pitiful people. You know, the Lord says, when that young infant was cast out in Ezekiel 16, He says, none I pitied thee. None I pitied thee. But when I passed by, it was a time of love. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, the scriptures tells us that God, as a father pitieth His children, even so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. You know why? He knows our frame. And we're just nothing but dust. Frail dust. And a woman came to Him one time with her daughter and said, Lord, have pity on me for my daughter's sake. So you know, we come before God and we always, He pities us because we're pitiful people. And then everything that about His work, God does it of grace. Without grace, there'd be no salvation. Without God, there'd be no salvation. His work from start to finish is His work. 12 times it says, I will. God, everything you find here says, I will, I will, I will, I will. I'll do it. So when we talk about will being done, it's His will. And I tell you what, 12 times His will is mentioned. His will. And you go through this whole chapter and you'll find out how many times He talks about His will and what He does for His own namesake. And who's His namesake? His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a personal work. He said, I'll give you a new spirit. I'll put within you a new spirit. I got to do this. You don't have the ability to do it. And He does this great and blessed work upon individuals, upon people, personal people, people that are individuals. Now God said here in verse 26, a new heart will I give you. A new heart will I give you. Why a new one? Why a new one? Because the old one is so stony. Ain't that what He said? I'll take away the stony heart. The other's a heart of stone. Stony heart, a heart of stone. Stones are cold. There's no warmth in stones. No affection in stones. No feeling in stones. Stones are hard. Hard. Look over, you keep this and look over with me in Job chapter 41. Look in Job chapter 41. See what it says here about stones. Stones are hard. They're callous. They can't feel. They can't feel at all. Job 41. It's the last chapter almost before the Psalms. And the stone is hard. It's unfeeling. Callous. Can't feel. Look what he said here in verse 24. Job 41:24. When he... His heart is as firm as a stone, yea, hard as a piece of the nether millstone. Oh my, hard as a millstone. Hard, hard. You've heard of people being hard-headed. Well, he's there talking about people that are hard-hearted. I've heard people over the years many times, you know, talking about unconverted people, that unconverted people say, he got a tender heart. That's not true. That's not true. They may cry. They may act tender-hearted, they may even have compassion, but it's all of the flesh, because they have a hard heart, they have a stony heart, and they do it for one motive, to be noticed, to have people say those things about them. But we have a stony heart, born with a stony heart, cold heart, dead heart, hard heart, callous heart, lifeless heart. And I tell you what, and I tell you, the heart, men are born with a hard heart. I'll tell you how hard it is. If God don't take it out, you'll die with it. You'll die with a heart just as hard as a millstone. And I tell you, when something's stony, it's dead. Dead. Incapable of having any spiritual motion whatsoever. Have you ever seen a rock move itself? Have you ever seen a rock feel anything? Take a rock and hit it with a sledgehammer. It don't feel it. You may break it, but it won't feel it. And that's where it is with the gospel. The gospel comes as a hammer, comes as a fire. But people don't feel the hammer and they don't feel the fire. There's no vitality in this heart. And not only is the heart dead, no spiritual motion to it, cold and lifeless, but it's deaf. Stone can't hear nothing. It's dumb. It can't hear. It can't speak. Stones don't talk. When they can't speak, they can't hear. They can't hear God's name. They can't hear God's word. The stone's dead. You ever went out and talked to a stone? You ever, anybody ever talked to a rock and expected to talk back to you and to hear you? And that's what he's talking about here. He said, your heart's so stony. And I tell you, what in the world going to happen then? If we got such a stony heart, what's going to happen? Well, there's got to be a miracle performed. Got to be something absolutely supernatural. It has to be a work that's so powerful. And look what God says here. A new heart will I give you. I got to give it to you. You know, we said, you know, I'm going to take out the stony heart. I'm going to take it out. Nothing can be done with the stony heart. Nothing can be done. Now, you can polish a stone. You can carve, you know. We buy headstones and we have things carved in these headstones. We have our name carved in them. Verses of scripture sometimes. When we was born, when we die, children's name carved into them. You reckon that stone feels that? You reckon that stone knows what year it is and what day it is? Whose name's on it? And they polish it up, make it so shiny, make it so nice. You can polish it, but you still can't make it living. You still can't make it living. Oh, I've seen some beautiful headstones. I saw there's a headstone that's got a got pictures on it. They take the pictures of the person and put on it. And they you can see them. They're there. That's their picture. And all the things they're interested in. Hunting, there's a deer there. Ginseng over here. And dogs over there. And they got all this stuff. But that thing's just as dead as a person in the ground. Just as lifeless as in the ground. Huh? Polish it up. That ain't going to make it no better. And that's all religion can do is polish you up. Polish you up. That's what it's got to do. It's got to just polish a person up, make them look good. But it's still a stone. And God says, listen, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. He says, I'm going to give you a new one. A new one. Oh my, got to have a new one. Got to have a new one. And you noticed it was a gift of God. He said, I will give you a new heart. That means it's a gift. That's a gift of God. If you got a heart that can be touched with the Word, with the Gospel, with the Word of God, can be touched with the Scriptures, be touched when we sing that, my God, how great thou art. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Oh my. And he takes, and look what he says here. I will take away the stony heart. I'm going to have to take it away. I've got to reach in there and get it out. You know, you hear people say this all the time. Give Jesus your heart. Now I want to know how in the world somebody does that. How does somebody give Jesus their heart? How does that happen? How does that happen? How does a dead man give somebody's heart? How can a stone give anybody's heart? Oh, let him into your heart. How do you do that? How do you let him in your heart? How's that accomplished? How's that done? How can anybody open their heart? How can anybody let Jesus in their heart? How's that happen? Our Lord said, I've got to come in there and I've got to reach in there by my power, by the Spirit, by the Word, by the Gospel. I've got to reach in there and take out that stony heart. And then I've got to turn around and put a brand new one in there. And you know that's what he's talking about. I've got to put a brand spanking new one in there. Huh? And it's a gift of God. And this new heart is a life-giving change. And guess what it does? It changes the whole man. Huh? Oh, I'll tell you what happens is God brings into existence a new soul. He brings into existence something that never was there before. Huh? And he gives, and it's a gift. He said, I give it to you. I give it to you. And when he gives you a heart of flesh, gives you this new heart, it becomes a soft heart then. Before it was hard. Now it's soft. It can be touched now. It can be touched. It becomes sensitive. It becomes sensitive to sin. Becomes sensitive to self-righteousness. It becomes sensitive to no accomplishment on your part. No works on your part. It becomes very, very sensitive. And it becomes so sensitive that it is easily impressed by the things of God. Now it pays attention to the things of God. And in fact, when God gives this new heart, you know what happens? You become like a child. You become like a child. My father-in-law didn't get converted till he was 75 years old. And before that, he knew everything. Before he got saved, he knew everything. So I talked to him about the gospel. Oh, I know that. I know that. Oh, yeah, I understand that. I know that. He knew everything. But after God saved him, he said, I'm a baby. Oh, my goodness. I'm so ashamed of thinking I knew anything. I'm just a baby. 75 years old. 80 years old. I'm a baby. And that's what we are. We're like children. You know why we're like children? We're sitting here waiting on our Father to do something for us. Waiting on our Father to speak to us. Waiting on our Father to make Himself known to us. Waiting for our Father to speak to us. Waiting for our heart, our Father, to come and show us some love and some kindness and some compassion. We're children sitting here waiting for our Father. Waiting to hear from our blessed Father. Huh? Oh my. And then not only is it a gift of God, and it's a soft heart, but it's also warm. It starts getting warm. It's not cold and lifeless anymore. Oh, no. It's warm. It's warm. You know, this old saying, and people tell me this all the time, my hands stay cold all the time. My hands is cold as ice right now. It's cold as ice. I can feel it. Everybody shakes my hand. They'll say, boy, your hands are like ice. They say, that means a warm heart. No, it don't. Having cold hands just means you got cold hands. That's all it means. You know, so let's don't say that anymore. You know, warm and cold hands means you got a warm heart. I don't think that's so. If I've got a warm heart, it's because God gave it to me. That's where I got it from. God gave it to me. Huh? And you know why it's warm? Because the Holy Ghost is shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. Oh, He shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. Oh, my. And love makes you warm. Love makes you kind. Love makes you tender. Love makes you do things for people and be interested in doing for others. And it's warm. It's warm towards others now. Oh, it's warm toward others now. You want to be friends. You want to be brothers. You want to be sisters. You want to be kind. You want to be warm to the people around you. And I tell you what, and it's warm to God's Word. You know what? How many times have you come in here and you felt like your heart was just as cold and lifeless when you left here? You felt like those two disciples on the Emmaus Road. Oh, our hearts did burn within us. You come in here cold and you leave and said, oh, our hearts did burn within us. Oh, my, and our hearts get warm when we come in here. And then it's a living heart. It's living. It's once dead. Now it's alive. It's alive unto God. Never knew God before, but now it thinks of God. When we sing that song, My God, How Great Thou Art, we all sing. We all think that. We all believe that. We all stand in awe of how great God is. How glorious God is. How sovereign God is. How almighty He is. How glorious He is. How majestic He is. He's God. And oh my, once dead, but now we have a heart that's alive. It's alive, and it's alive under God. We have a heart now that seeks the Lord, and it has desires. We have a heart that has desires. You know what it desires more than anything? It desires to be made like Christ. It desires to be done with this world and be done with the things of this world. Don't want nothing to do with it. Has desires for the gospel. Desires to honor God. Desires to glorify God. And it has needs. Every one of us this morning has our heart. Has needs. Has needs. Huh? Has needs. It has needs that it never had before. It has needs. It has needs to be fed. Needs to be nourished. Needs to be loved. Wives ask her husband all the time, do you love me? Well, you know I do. Well, you don't tell me often enough. Huh? You ever heard that? God tells us all the time how much He loves us. Huh? Oh, we have needs that it never had. We have needs now that we never existed. Most of you all have heard of Sir Walter Raleigh. He was an explorer. Sea captain, came to America, went back to England. And he was executed. Cut his head off. And the executioner said, just your head here on this block. Get your head just right on this block. You know what he told him? He told him this. It don't matter how my head lays on this block as long as my heart's right. And that's the truth. It don't matter what my head's like on that block as long as my heart's right. That's all that matters. And as there's a thing, either a man's got a heart of stone or a new heart. No middle ground. But boy, I tell you what, God's got to make that thing right. People say, well, I got to get right with God. Let me ask you again. How in the world does that happen? How do you get right with God? How does it happen? God has to make us right. He got to do it for us. If we're ever made right, God's got to be the one to do it. If we're ever made alive, God's got to be the one to do it. If we ever see God, He's got to show it to us. If we ever hear His voice, He's got to give us ears to hear. He's got to do it all. And oh, I tell you, where there's a new heart, look what else He says now here. In verse 26, I will put my spirit, down in verse 27, and I will take away, I'll give you a new spirit. And down in verse 20, and I will put my spirit within you. There's another thing He's got to do. He takes out the heart. It's stony. And then He has to come and give us a new spirit. Why do He have to give us a new spirit? Because we're lifeless. We don't know God. We couldn't possibly know God. And when He puts His spirit within, you know what the spirit does? Spirit manifests new life. You hear people all the time say, boy, he's got such a good spirit. And He's so such a got a good spirit. You know, your spirit is what animates you. The soul is what is alive unto God. The spirit, that's what animates us. That's what makes us who we are and makes us manifest whatever we are. And when the Spirit comes in, the Holy Spirit comes within you. And he said he puts his Spirit within us. The Spirit manifests life. When you put the Spirit within you, automatically life starts coming. Life starts coming. And I tell you, it's a new life. It's his Spirit. Romans 8:9 says this, without his Spirit, without the Spirit of Christ, he said, you're none of his. You're none of his. And Romans, Galatians 4:4, it says this, that God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. And you know what we say? Abba. That's what you do when you're a baby. Babies, you know, they start calling you dad, you know, they start calling you some name they don't even, you can't understand what they're saying. And then all of a sudden one day they get up and say, hey, daddy, dad, mom. And that's what it is. We're babies, we just say, Abba, Abba, Abba. And when we get up big enough to talk, we say, Father? that's the difference. That's the difference. And this is the way we know we're the children of God. You know, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Now you keep Ezekiel and look with me over in Romans 8. Let's look together here in Romans 8. Let me show you something. And all I tell you, where I put a spirit within you, the spirit makes us free. Makes us have life. Manifests that life. Oh my. Look what he says here in Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now, where does the Spirit of God lead a person? Where does he lead you to? The Scriptures tells us plainly that the Spirit reveals Christ to us, leads us to Christ. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And oh, that's how we know we're God's son, the Spirit's within us. And then listen to this. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We're not afraid. We're not afraid of God in the sense that, you know, he's going to punish us. We're not afraid that we're going to lose some kind of reward. We're not afraid that God's going to reject us when we get there. We're not afraid that we're going to be left out, that God's not going to do anything for us. We're not in bondage anymore. We're free from sin. We're free from Satan. We're free to worship and bless his holy name. Listen to this now. But you have received the spirit of adoption. That means we're sons, whereby we cry, like I just told you. Abba, can't say father. Not old enough, but father. And the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. What does it bear? That we're the children of God. How do you know you're a child of God? The Holy Spirit's the only one that can bear witness to that. I can't tell you if you're a child of God. You know, a man is trying to give assurance to another man. He's really trying to give assurance to himself. You know, I can't give assurance. If the Holy Spirit can't give you assurance, I certainly can't do it. I can't even give myself assurance. But oh, I tell you where the Spirit of God is. The Spirit of God lets you know whether you're a child of God or not. Huh? And how can you tell you're a child of God? By the Spirit of God in you. How do you respond to the gospel? How do you respond to the Holy Spirit? How do you respond to the Word of God? How do you respond when you're at home alone and you're listening to a message off of the internet or somewhere? How do you respond? Your mind and heart says, yes, 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 that's true, that's so. Don't it? Amen. Well, do you know? Amen. That's the way it is. That's what we say in our hearts. And some people told me, said, it's all I can do from get up and hollering sometimes. You know why that is? That's the Spirit of God in you, setting you alive and setting you on fire and blessing your heart. Now, the preacher can't do that. But the Holy Spirit in you can. And I tell you, it changes our spirit. Not only puts a new spirit, but it changes our spirit. Changes our nature towards God. His word. And also his ways. Look what he says there in verse 27. I'm going to put my spirit, and listen to this, and I'm going to cause you. I'm going to cause you to walk in my statutes. I'm going to make you walk in my word. You can't do it. You know, the steps of the Lord are ordered by the Lord, steps of a man. And you know, it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do. God created us unto good works in Christ Jesus. And he said, I'm going to cause you to walk. I'm going to cause you to walk. You know what you're doing right now? You're walking. Every one of us are walking. And we're not moving a muscle, but we're walking. How are we walking? By faith. And we now walk in newness of life. Oh, we got a life that never existed before when God puts in that heart and that new spirit. You know one thing? We love God's ways right now. Whatever way he does, we love it. I'm telling you what, I don't get angry at God over nothing. Listen, whatever he does is right. If he comes in there and takes somebody out of your home and your family, it's the right thing to do. It's just his way of taking them home. Oh my, we love God's ways. He said, I want you to go that way. No, I won't go this way. No, Lord, you just lead the way. And you know in the scriptures how many times it says they followed Jesus in the way? Yeah. Oh, and that man with them lepers that the Lord cleansed, it says they followed him in his way. Whatever his way is the right way, ain't it? Oh my, ain't you glad that he causes us to walk in his way? We ain't got sense enough to walk in his way. I remember when I was a kid, used to go coon hunting all the time. Used to go coon hunting my uncle all the time. Oh my goodness, wasn't nothing to get two or three coons and big carry. I had to carry them. And we'd go through we had an old carbine light. You remember them old carbine lights? We'd go through the woods with an old carbine light and they stink. And you just barely could see where you was going. You know, and you'd had to hold that light way up there and see if you could see some shining eyes. Well, that's how we was. We didn't even have a carbine light. We're just stumbling around in the dark. And then the Lord comes and he says, listen, I'm going to put in a new heart, put in a new spirit within you. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to light the way. And that's the way you're going to go. And I'm glad to go. Oh my, we love God's way. We're saved from our ways. Saved from our ways. Our ways were sin. His ways righteousness. Our way was death. His ways life. Oh, bless his name. And the scriptures tell us, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. How did you receive him? You received him as a sinner in need. You received him as a helpless person. And he had to help you. You received him as the only person that could do anything for you. As you received him, you walk that way. You know, Enoch walked with God for over 300 years. How did he do it? Same way we're walking right now, by faith. I'm telling you, every one of us here this morning is walking. We're sitting here. We're listening. But we're walking. You know why we're walking? We're walking by faith. We're living the way we receive Christ, by faith. Huh? And then look what he says in verse 28. And then he says, and he says this, and ye shall dwell. Not only he says a lot of wills, but he said, ye shall. Ye shall dwell in the land. Oh my. What land's he talking about? He gave Israel a promised land. Land flowing with milk and honey. Well, God said, we're going to dwell in the land. We've got a promised land too. We do. Not only we got a new land promised, but we got a new heaven promised. He said, I'm going to make a new heaven, and I'm going to make a new earth. And he said, that's where you're going to dwell. You know, these premillennialists and all that, they say, boy, when you get on there, we're going to raise watermelons big as Volkswagens. Well, if we're going to have to raise great big gardens and tend to them and, you know, grow grapes and all that, if we're going to have to do all that stuff, then, you know what I want to do? I want to make knives to cut them watermelons with. That's how absurd it is. You think God is going to put us someplace and do a new heaven and a new earth and righteousness dwells in there? Oh my, walk around in this new whatever the Garden of Eden was, it is nothing compared to what God's going to put us in. Nothing. And oh my, you're going to be on this new heaven, new Isaac and Jacob and Abraham, they looked, they traveled, and they lived in a tent. And we're living in a tent. When this earthly tent be dissolved, this earthly house, this be dissolved, we'll be clothed upon with a new house not made with hands. And it's eternal in the heavens. And the scriptures tells us that in that new heaven and new earth, that there we'll be, and there we will enjoy God, and everyone that's there will be just as righteous as they are now, but only in Christ, and you will not never, ever break another sweat. You'll never stink under your arms again. You'll never have to brush your teeth again. You'll not wear glasses. You'll not wear false teeth. You say, that's crazy. Well, does God fail at anything he does? If he makes a new heaven, new earth, he's got to put new people on it. He just gave us a new heart and put a new spirit in it, so everything's new. Oh, we got the most blessed future. But Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, every once in a while they'd have to pick up stakes, get their tent, roll it up, and start moving. And that, what was they doing? Every time they moved, they was looking for a city. They said, I'm going to find that city one of these days. What city are you talking about? That city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I tell you what. We have got some kind of future. We have got some kind of future. Oh my. And then look what he says here after that. He said, you're going to dwell in the land. And listen to this. In verse 28, you shall be my people. You shall be my people. We talked about that Wednesday night. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. You shall be my people. Well, I don't know if I want to be your people or not. What are you going to give me if I become one of your people? What are you going to reward me with? What are you going to give me? What are you going to pay me? If you want me to be one of your people, what's in it for me? That's what most people think. That's what most people say. But God says, you're going to be my people. And he said, you know what? I'm going to be your God. And that's the covenant, the long and short of it. You're going to be my people, and I'm going to be your God. He didn't say, you want to, you'd like to, you hope you are. He said, that's what's going to happen. You're my people, and I'm your God. Oh, my, bless his name. And then look at all these precious promises he gives us now. Oh, look what he gives us. He says in verse 29, he said, I'm going to save you from all your uncleannesses. Well, every time we come to a service, he saves us from our uncleanness. you come in here on Wednesday night and come in here on sometime Sunday morning, come in here sometime Sunday night, and you feel so unclean. You feel so unclean. I feel that way. I mean, my thoughts are unclean. My words are unclean. My attitude's unclean. And what the only thing that can cleanse it? God said, I will cleanse you. I will save you. Well, all the time you feel unclean, I'm going to save you from it. I'm going to wash you all over again. I'm going to cleanse you again. I'm going to cleanse you again. And then look what else he says. And I'm going to call for some corn. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to feed you. I love corn. I love sweet corn. I really, really do. But he said, I'm going to call for corn. I'm going to call for it. You ain't going to have to plant it. You ain't going to have to raise it. You're not going to have to pick it. He said, I'm going to call for it, and it's going to be yours. I'm going to be responsible to feed you. And everything, you know, bread's made out of it. Oh, so many things. Cornbread. Oh, my goodness. And he said, I'm going to call for corn. I'm going to call for corn. And I'm going to feed you. Huh? And then look what he says. He said, I'm going to increase it. About the time you think it's gone, he said, I'm just going to give you some more. I'm just going to increase it. It's just about time you think, well, I'm hungry, I'm just going to give you some more. I'm just going to increase it. And then look what else he says here. He said, I'm going to lay no famine on you. I'm not going to cause you to have a famine. Now, there is a famine in this land. There's no doubt about that. A famine for hearing the word of God. But he said, you're not going to be that way. He said, you're not going to be that way. I'm not going to send a famine on you. Oh, my, I'm responsible for you. I'm not going to let you starve. I'm not going to let you do without. I'm not going to let no famine come upon you. It's like Israel. When they had that 7 years of plenty and then the 7 years of famine, you know who had the only person who had any food for anybody in the whole world? It was Joseph. You know who's got any food for all his elect? The Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? He's going to feed his people. I ain't going to lay no famine on you. And then look what else he says here in verse 30. He said, I'm going to multiply the fruit of the tree. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my, the fruit of the tree. I'm going to make that tree just bloom and bring fruit and bring forth more fruit and more fruit and more fruit. He said, I'm going to cause it. I'm going to bring fruit on the tree. You can go pick anything you want. I don't know what kind of fruit he's talking about. But whatever it is, it's got to be good. It's got to be good. And we're trees of the Lord's planting. And if we have any fruit whatsoever, I heard a preacher preaching the other day. I got to listening to him, and he done so good till he got down there. And he talked about separation, and he talked about bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. But here's the thing. If we bear any fruit, God's got to be the one to produce it. He said, without me, you can do nothing. He said, the branches abide in the vine. Separate from that vine, it's dead. And our Lord Jesus said, you know, that we're trees of the Lord's planting, trees of righteousness. And he has to produce the fruit. Brad preached on this one time several years ago. John 15:60. Know ye not, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit. Now what do you think about that? You know, the only people who don't think they got any fruit is people's got it. You know, you talk about all these fellows that's got all this fruit. Boy, I tell you what. You say, I don't think I got any fruit. Oh, I see all kinds of fruit around you. I see love. I see peace. I see joy. I see gentleness. I see kindness. I see love. I see faith. Oh, I see fruit. I see fruit. And then look what else he says here. Not only with verse 30, will I multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field. And he said, you're not going to have no more reproach. I'm not going to reproach anymore. There's going to be no reproach. Oh no, when you get where I'm bringing you in this new land, there'll be no reproach there. And then look what he says. He said, not for your sakes, though, here in verse 22. He said, O house of Israel, but for my own holy name's sake. That's why I do these things. And then let me say just this and I'll be done. It's an effectual work. It's an effectual. God said, I will. You shall. I will and you shall. That's my theology right there. I will and you shall. If I shall, you will. Whatever God wills for his people, that's going to happen. Yeah, mark it down. It's an effectual word. He said, I will take away the stony heart. I will put in a heart of flesh. I will put a new spirit within you. I will cleanse you. I will feed you. I'll cause the corn to increase. God can do anything. Can God do anything that fails? Not absolutely no. Oh, one of the greatest works he does in this world. People talk about miracles, miracles and miracles. The greatest work he does for anybody in this world is to give them a new heart.
Amen.
Give them a new heart. Huh? A new spirit. And let me give you some, look what he says here about this, and I've got to hurry. Look in verse 31. When he does this, you know what you do? You remember your evil ways. Oh my ways were so sinful. My ways were so evil. And your doings, they weren't good. And here's some evidence, you know, of God putting a new heart in it. You loathe yourselves. Oh my. How many times have you said like the Apostle Paul, oh wretched man that I am. Oh wretched man that I am. Oh God, save me from such evil ways. Anything I've done wasn't a good thing I ever done. Oh my. And he said, you shall remember. A dead stony heart can't remember anything. Only a living heart can remember. Oh my. You won't loathe somebody else evil or their evil ways, but your own. Let me ask you, is God taking out that stony heart? Has he put in a new heart? Has he put his spirit within you? You know, the only one that knows that is you. The only one knows that's you. Ain't that right? Our Father, we bow our hearts again in your holy presence. Thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the wills of God, the high wills of God. Thank you that you made us your people and you're our God. Oh Lord, you did this work. And Lord, we know that whatever work you started, you're going to finish it. And we know it's a good work because that's all you can do is good. And Father, bless this message to the hearts of those who are here today. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your word. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Houston, teach me thine own way. Teach me thy way. Let's sing that, wherever it's at. Teach me thy way. What is it? Teach me thy ways.
Let's stand together. Hymn number 337. 337. Teach me thy way, Lord. Teach me thy way. Thy guiding grace afford. Teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright, nor by faith less by sight. Lead me with heavenly light. Teach me thy way. When I am set at heart, teach me thy way. When earthly joys depart, teach me thy way. In hours of loneliness, in times of doubt,